Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Skeptics vs. Believers podcast, where we discuss paranormal current events and tales of unexplained cryptid encounters. As always, we are your host. My name's Mike.
And my name's Kim.
And this week's episode is a huge one. We're going to be discussing one of the largest reported cryptids, which, if proven to exist, would be a massive discovery that would change how we view the human species and the evolution of primates on planet Earth. He's big. He's bad. And oh boy, is he stinky. His name is Bigfoot. In the streets, they also call him the Yeti, the Urine, the Yowie. In some parts, he's known as the Wild Man. I think we all know him, other than Bigfoot, as the Sasquatch.
Sasquatch.
Sasquatch. And I don't know if you know this, Kim, but Sasquatch actually translates to wild man, and that's Salish, which is Native American. He's pretty well known around the world. What are your thoughts on the Bigfoot?
I'm skeptical about Bigfoot.
Okay.
It's just not real. All the videos and the photos that I've seen.
Yeah.
Almost always has terrible quality. It's always blurry. Bigfoot is usually far. You could barely see that it is Bigfoot.
Mm.
There's also no fossils or bones or any kind of physical evidence that was ever found, except for hair, but they've never found Bigfoot's body.
Yeah.
We only have a few footprints, but that's not really physical evidence.
So yeah, I agree with what you just said. There has never been any kind of physical evidence of Bigfoot, aside from some hair samples that people have found or put together from the wilderness on Bigfoot hunts. I think they've tested a lot of those samples, and either they come back inconclusive, meaning that scientists can't tell you whether it's Bigfoot or a bear. Sometimes they do say it's a bear or a wolf or some known creature, but for the ones that come back as inconclusive, those are the ones that have kept that little bit of hope that maybe some of these samples are real hair from a Bigfoot.
Therefore, it's pretty hard to believe, Mr. Wildman. But after researching just a smidgen about Bigfoot and seeing more clear footage, maybe I could just believe just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit, huh?
What?
Just a little bit. I think we heard all. We all heard that. It's down for the record. Kim said just a little bit. So I think everyone knows where I stand on this one. I think I'm a pretty big believer in Bigfoot. I don't know. Bigfoot's one of my favorite cryptids. It's one of the first cryptids that I got into outside of UFOs and really made me kind of go down the rabbit hole of cryptozoology and paranormal creatures or events, because it's really one of the biggest mysteries that I think exists in our world today. No physical evidence aside, I think there's a ton of evidence to show or prove that if not a Bigfoot, there's definitely something out there that is not human or from any kind of primate species that we know of today, like a gorilla or chimpanzee. Like, this thing is way more evolved, or it's from a different branch of hominids. Whatever it is it's really smart, and it's been able to avoid being captured till now, as far as we know, and it's been able to avoid having people find its remains. So people think they either are burying their dead, which is why we've never found anything, but there's no proof of it. So they're very good at keeping themselves hidden. So yeah, I think in short, I believe that Bigfoot exists. Sasquatch is real. The Yeti roams the mountains of the Himalayas. Skunk Ape is alive somewhere in the swamps of Florida.
It's really traveling all over the world, huh?
So our first story tonight, which I thought was one of the more unique accounts of someone stating to have been taken by a Bigfoot and living to survive to tell about it. A fellow named Albert Osterman, and Albert claims to not only have seen a Bigfoot, but allegedly also have been kidnapped by one. And it was first reported back in the 1950s. He states that this happened to him in the 1920s, so he waited a couple years before actually reporting it.
Wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, and I think it's off of the fear that he was scared people would obviously think he was crazy or not just believe him at all. So this one comes from the New York Times, and the story of Albert Osterman goes, the year was 1924, and the place, according to the now legendary story, was Toba Inlet, located on the coast of British Columbia opposite Vancouver Island. For three mornings in a row, Albert Osterman, a lumberman on a vacation camping trip, had awakened to find that his campsite had been disturbed by a nocturnal visitor from the woods. Now as night fell on the fourth evening, he crawled into a sleeping bag fully clothed, intending to feign sleep and surprise the animal that had come to rummage through his knapsack and make off with his food. But after a few hours, sleep overcame him. He was awakened by something picking him up. He felt as if he were being tossed on horseback, but he could feel that whatever had picked him up, sleeping bag, knapsack, and all, was walking upright. After a lengthy, uncomfortable journey, he was dumped roughly on the ground, and he emerged from the sleeping bag to face four immense, hairy, ape-like creatures, an apparent family. Two were obviously male, the father and son, and two obviously female, the mother and daughter. Osterman remained a captive of the creatures for about a week in the small valley they called their home, apparently serving as a source of amusement for them, eating food from his knapsack and watching for a chance to escape. His opportunity finally came one morning. The father of the family grabbed Osterman's snuff box, swallowed its contents, and grew violently ill. In the moments of panic and confusion that followed, Osterman dashed off into the woods. When he finally reached civilization, he decided to keep the story of his strange encounter to himself for fear nobody would believe him. But in 1957, at a time when sightings of similar ape-like creatures had been reported in the Pacific Northwest, Albert Osterman began to tell his story to friends and relatives and found its way into the popular press. To many, the Osterman story is cause for little more than amusement, to be sure. But to a lot of people, it is intriguing, and to still others, infuriating. For if it is fantasy, it is hardly a singular fantasy. Instead, his tale is simply the most elaborate in what has become a substantial literature of hairy humanoid giants inhabiting the forests of the Pacific Northwest and other areas of the North American continent. So Osterman's claiming that he was kidnapped by a family of Bigfoot, and they held him captive for about a week.
A week?
About a week, where he was amusing them basically by just eating out of his knapsack and just being around. I guess they're not used to seeing humans or having them around as pets. In the initial story, he claims that the reason he thinks that they kidnapped him was he thinks that they were trying to have him mate with the younger one of the Sasquatch women.
So, no.
This is what he thinks that they
kidnapped. She wants to do?
Yeah. So Osterman claims that he believes he was kidnapped just to mate with the female Sasquatch, or the younger female Sasquatch of this group.
That's crazy. He thought he was that enticing.
He thought he was a pretty good snack for the woman Sasquatch.
I just can't believe that. Can you imagine going on the news? Yeah, I was just too sexy for them. That's why they kidnapped me.
And he thought I was a perfect match for his daughter. For this Sasquatch lady. And they were getting none of that D. None of that Osterman D.
Sorry. He thought he was really hot shit, huh?
Yeah, he thought he was that guy. I mean, you'd have to have a really good imagination to come up with something like that, right?
That's just a wild imagination.
Yeah.
In your dreams. That's pretty freaky.
The reason people question it is not only because, I mean, obviously, it took him 20 years to report it, but at the time he comes forward to say that this happened to him, it was around the same time that more people were reporting seeing a big hairy creature in the woods.
Yeah.
And so some people say that this was just his way of throwing his name in the ring and trying to become famous, I guess. It's one of the more imaginative stories that I've heard when it comes to Bigfoot. There's some really crazy stories out there. I mean, way more crazier than that. But that one of him being kidnapped, I would say I'm a skeptic of.
Of that story?
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you. 1 point for the skeptic.
There's no proof other than his word. And given the time that he actually decided to come forward.
Doesn't match up, right?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that he would just say it to kind of get his name out there. It also happens around the time where Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin released their footage of, it's one of the more famous pieces of footage that shows this creature walking in the film away from them. It's the most famous image of Bigfoot.
I remember that. You told me to look at that.
Right? Yeah. It's one of the more polarizing pieces of footage out there where you either believe it or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
But there's been tons of arguments to support both sides. So there's people who believe it and they point out all the parts of the film that support their argument of it being real.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Meldrum, I believe he's an anthropologist, but he's a professor and he's one of the more famous Bigfoot researchers with an academic background. Like he's a real person that like has credibility. Deal. Yeah. And he uses that footage to point out all the parts of the body of the animal as it's walking away to show that you can not only see the creature's muscles moving and its joints moving as it's walking, but he points out basically that all the parts of the body that show it's not a person in a costume and it's actually a creature captured on this film. And there are people who have slowed the video down because obviously it's a film from the 60s, so it's really grainy and really
super duper old.
Really old. And so they actually smoothed the footage out to where you could see the parts of the body that are moving in a way that you wouldn't be able to see a guy in a suit do. Mm. Even though there is a guy who claims to have been the man in that suit who took a test, a lie detector test, and passed it. They asked him if he was the man in the suit on the footage. He said yes. And
there you go.
And he passed. But there are people who say he's just doing it to claim, again, fame as to, yeah, I'm the guy in this film and was never anything other than me.
But you can't fake a lie detector.
You can, actually. But I it's hard to argue, too, because I can't see someone. Well, sure, I could see someone wanting to fake it so that they could be tagged as the person in the film.
I wouldn't want to be known to be that guy.
Sure, because it's like the biggest hoax or one of the biggest hoaxes ever created. So yeah, I guess I could see why you wouldn't want to be associated with it. But at the same time, why you would be. I mean,
yeah,
it's one of the more famous pieces of footage out there. It's disputed both by skeptics and believers as being the more significant or the one of the more convincing pieces of footage that officially they've never been able to either prove or disprove. So although that Patterson-Gimlin footage is one of the more controversial ones, it leads me to a much more recent and what is considered authentic and proof of some kind of creature from back in 2013 where a hunter was out hunting and decided to start filming this thing that he saw tearing up a tree. And I'll play this for you, but basically you can hear this thing ripping a tree apart. And the argument is that if it was a human in a suit, I mean, just because you have a suit on doesn't give you super strength and the ability to rip apart a tree trunk, right? So let's listen to this footage of this creature. You'll hear tree trunks snap and you listen, you watch, and I'll get your opinion after.
So you see, they always run away.
Yeah, so you hear at the end there...
All the ruffling. That shit looked real.
The footage comes from a Josh Highcliffe, and this is from back in 2013 while he was out hunting. He comes across this creature, which he describes. There was this huge black thing crouched by a dead cypress about 50 yards away. I thought it was a hog, but saw these big shoulders and a head upright with hands. It looked like it was digging out the stump. When it stood up, I could not control myself and ran. That stump was huge, and I'd guess the sucker was about 7 feet tall. So in the footage, you hear this creature ripping apart this tree trunk, and you could hear it in there, those deep thuds.
Yeah.
And you could even see in the footage whatever this thing is reaching in with its hands and then ripping out chunks and then tossing it into the swamp next to it. It's one of the more convincing pieces of footage, if not the best footage of what I guess is proof of some kind of a monster or Bigfoot out there.
And he was pretty big too. You could see the muscles on his back.
Yeah, it definitely looks like a gorilla crouched down and looking through a tree trunk for food.
Bigfoot was really looking for something within that tree stump.
Yeah, kind of like a gorilla or some kind of a creature looking for grub worms and dead wood that they eat.
He was very nonchalant, like just tossing it.
Yeah, it looked very powerful.
Ooh.
I don't blame Josh for running away.
He got up on that last minute of the video. Yeah. I got so scared.
Yeah, at the end of the video, this thing stands up from its crouched position, and you could see that it's pretty big. I mean, it's hard to tell in terms of feet, but it's definitely a big boy.
Yeah, it is a big boy. If he turned around, oh my God, I probably would have took a crap and took a piss at the same time.
So, I mean, I would have done the same. I can't really blame anybody for running away after seeing this thing, because if it's strong enough to rip a tree apart, I'm sure it could rip my limbs.
Oh my gosh.
It won't be hard for him to take care of a little us.
Oh my gosh. Little old us.
Little old us. Other than this creature tearing this tree apart in this footage, this week we also have the first movie review here on the Skeptics versus Believers podcast. And the name of that movie is Discovering Bigfoot, which was first released on Netflix back in 2017, 2018, I believe. It's definitely one of the more interesting documentaries I've seen on Bigfoot, strictly because of the footage that he shows. The fellow who made this documentary, his name's Todd Standing, and in the Bigfoot community, he's known as a hoaxer. I tried looking at reasons why they consider him a hoaxer, and I couldn't find any like solid proof as to why. And watching the documentary, I think we both saw some questionable things. Some things that were like, whoa, what the heck is that? I think maybe considered real, right? Like, if you showed me some of the footage on this documentary and told me, what do you think this is? I'd tell you it's a Bigfoot. So let's talk about what this movie's about. Todd Standing, he's used to be a military sniper who is an expert in camouflage. And throughout the documentary...
Is he? There are times where I didn't even know that he was there.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
That's how good he was.
He's pretty good.
He hid himself so well under snow, I could not see him. I was so shocked.
He does not lie about being a master of disguise.
Oh, no.
He wears a ghillie suit in a couple parts of the movie where he completely camouflages into the floor of
anything
the
you name it. Water.
Yeah, snow.
Leaves, trees, everything.
You need a man to hide in the woods or disguise you, this is your guy.
Todd's your man.
So I won't argue that. He's definitely a master at disguising himself.
Also a master in parkour.
That is right. A lot of the movie is him running through the woods and...
Climbing rocks.
Climbing rocks. He's doing parkour.
He's just jumping everywhere.
Parkour. Every time he started running through the woods and doing his jumps, I thought of Michael Scott.
That's all that I thought of.
Yeah.
But each edit, there's like 10 minutes of him just skipping and jumping over rocks.
Yeah, he's taking these really big strides through
the
woods.
He's just showing you how athletic he is, let's say that.
Yeah. I guess some more background on Todd is that allegedly back when he first published this movie on Netflix, he didn't get any money from it. he didn't get rich and famous off of this. And from what I read, he's not really making any money off of it now.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like a just labor or project made from his love of Bigfoot or trying to prove that it's Bigfoot.
I think he just wants to show awareness that there is a Bigfoot out there.
Right. And it's good that you point that out. The reason he made this film mm-hmm. was to use it as evidence to bring to court in Canada to help put Bigfoot on the endangered species list so that, you know, obviously someone couldn't just shoot it and get away with it or it just be not a crime because Aww. It's a great reason.
Yeah.
But he got laughed out of court with this documentary or this being his proof. It didn't go well for him. Yeah. I don't know why. I didn't see any reasons other than they didn't think that this footage was credible. And I could see why.
There's some questionable parts of the movie, but
there's definitely some questionable parts of the movie where I'm left thinking, all right, this is not.
What did I just watch?
Other than him doing his parkour in the woods with his ghillie suit on.
Best part ever.
So there are some parts that I thought were the more important images that he used as evidence that there's a Bigfoot. One of them being the trees being bent inward in like a weave pattern that was really weird.
It was like some witchery stuff, like very eerie.
It looked like some Blair Witch stuff.
Yeah.
It was weird. I don't think that regular people did that.
No.
The way these branches were weaved together, it wasn't just branches. It was tree stumps.
Whole tree.
Yeah. These really thick young trees that were bent in a way that definitely no one could do on their own. It would take a lot of effort to
a lot of strength.
Yes. Another part is the one night where he's surrounded by what he says are three Bigfoot, and he actually shows what looks like the back shoulder or the back of some creature standing near a tree in front of him. It doesn't ever move. It doesn't really look like it's moving. It doesn't have any kind of signs of life from it. He's very adamant that whatever that is that he shows in the footage is a Bigfoot. And I wasn't too convinced. I don't think you were.
No, I was not convinced at all.
There was one part of it that convinced me. The part where he shows whatever that thing was by the tree is Bigfoot, I didn't think was a Bigfoot. He goes back an hour later and shows, like, he jumps in front of the spot to show how high his hands are compared to what this creature was or whatever it was there. And that it wasn't there anymore, and I wouldn't say that that was any kind of way to prove a Bigfoot was on his camera.
Yeah, I just think it was horrible quality. It was night vision, right?
Yeah, it's night vision, so it's black and white, green color.
Yeah, while the whole screen was just nighttime already, so I just felt like that wasn't really valid.
Yeah.
And he was saying there were bear tracks or some kind of tracks.
Yeah, he was following some tracks to what led him to that spot.
Snow was white and clean. I don't know where he saw those tracks.
So in front of him, he definitely didn't have any tracks. I think what he says is he didn't follow the tracks directly behind it because you're not supposed to do that with wild creatures because they could circle around you. But in doing that, he says that he comes to discover that there are two more Bigfoot behind him that are following him. And he ends up being surrounded, he says, by the one in front of him, and then there are two behind him. And then all of a sudden, to the left of the camera comes a huge log that lands right next to him, and he looks like he gets knocked down. And he claims that this came from one of the two Bigfoot that were behind him. And that I thought was kind of hard to I guess fake, because first of all, unless he's out there with a crew of guys or there's more than himself out there, which he says wasn't, it was just him, I don't know how he could have picked up a log and thrown it the way that it was thrown in that footage.
I would scream and then give up my spot because I would have been so caught off guard that log just came out of left field. He was just calm about it. I mean, maybe it's because he's a skilled military man.
Yeah.
Where he has to stay calm.
That's a good point. Yeah, and not only that, he's 6'4", and these things were way bigger than him, so that means that they had to at least be at 7 to 8 feet tall. I've never seen a 7-foot person. I've seen basketball players that are 7 feet.
Yeah, they're tall. Those guys are tall.
They're massive. I can only imagine an 8-foot to 9-foot ape creature.
And he didn't even pan to the left.
I would definitely pan to the left or the right to see what the hell threw that
at me. Show me who threw that at you.
Yeah.
Come on, Todd.
Todd, the whole reason you're out here in the snow, by the way, yeah, he's in the snow. I think you mentioned that.
He's just in the snow.
He's camping out night in the snow when he has got a whole family at home.
Oh. You he could have been doing better things with his life.
Pan to the left to see where this thing comes from?
Yeah, he just kept on recording straight.
Yeah, another thing that I thought was weird was when that happened, whatever that thing in front of him was didn't move either. It didn't look like it was phased by...
No.
So I thought that was kind of odd, but it's hard to disprove that it wasn't a Bigfoot that threw it at him. It's questionable.
It's not questionable. It's just fake.
For you, it's a straight answer.
It's either yes or no. It was real or it wasn't.
He puts out apples in the middle of the night, also towards the beginning of the film. I think it's about 15 minutes in. He lays out these three apples on a log, and he's recording. I think he has two cameras or three cameras set up. And so one is at an angle where it's looking at him and the log with these apples a few feet in front of him. The other angle is from to the left of that first camera. What he does is he shows you, and this is also in night vision, so you have that black and white green hue to it, so it's kind of hard to tell the details.
His favorite filter.
And he shows you in slow motion what appears to be a hand come out and take each apple one by one. I guess in the footage you can't tell what it is. It's obviously a hand that's grabbing these apples and taking them off the screen. Unless he's got someone out there with him in the woods helping him make it look like something is stealing this food that he put out there as kind of a gift to these Sasquatch, I can't imagine what that is other than a Bigfoot hand. It's either going to be someone helping him, or because he's in the camera while these things are getting taken in the back, and he doesn't notice while they're getting taken. He only points it out after post-edit. He's talking over the part where he's like, yeah, I didn't know this was happening at the time. And if you look in slow motion here, look, you see these apples getting taken. What did you think was taking the apples? Do you think it was a hoax?
I think that he had a team and somebody slowly took the apples.
So you think he had someone out there with him?
Definitely. It looked like the evil queen from Snow White just taking each apple slowly, taking it one by one.
It's hard to say what it is taking these things. It's definitely a hand, but because of the quality of the footage and the night vision,
it was blurry.
Yeah, you can't see what it is.
Do you think Bigfoot would slowly take an apple just because there's one guy there?
Yeah.
How considerate.
I see both sides to it. If it's a Bigfoot, I don't see why it wouldn't sneakily take these apples one by one like that.
He or she is 8 feet tall. I would just take all three apples and punch him in the face and just go home. Why would I have to sneakily take apples?
Well, up until now, right, no real Bigfoot has been caught on camera. Of course, there are instances of what appeared to be a Bigfoot on camera, mm-hmm. but no official straight footage of saying this is a Sasquatch and we've got him on camera has ever been brought forward, except for the Patterson-Gimlin footage.
Mm-hmm.
So I would assume that whatever this creature is really smart and it could sense cameras around, so it may not want to be picked up on camera. It would sneak up to these things and take it.
Let me give them something to record.
If there's a Bigfoot, I could definitely see why it wouldn't want to be caught or why it would be sneaking through the woods, because it wouldn't want to be caught by this man who could possibly kill it or harm it in any way. So that's one reason I believe it would sneak up to the tree and steal those apples like that. But I could totally see it being a setup shot where he's got people in the woods helping him and he has someone take these apples off the tree.
And then a few minutes into that, you start to hear growling.
Right.
Then he explains that two of the Bigfoot were on his right where the apples were. And those two were the ones that were stealing the apples. And then there's another one that's coming from the mountains who's the alpha Bigfoot.
He made it sound like they were setting up a distraction. Whatever this other one was taking it while he was distracted.
And then the noises got louder, as if they were coming closer.
It's smart, don't you think?
Yeah.
If there is a smart creature in the woods, it would definitely come up with a plan to get him distracted while they take the food.
But it sounded like they were coming closer. Absolutely. I would have just left.
I'd be petrified, but
just stayed there, and he was just like, they took my apples, womp.
Well, he's this hard military guy.
So hardcore, Todd.
His sole purpose of being out there is to prove that Bigfoot exists. I'm not surprised he didn't run away.
But yet he still couldn't pan those two Bigfoot who threw that log at him.
He's not the greatest cameraman. I think part of this film, we both are kind of not sure of, is the footage that he shows of these creatures in the woods, basically looking back at him in a way where they're kind of peeking at him, where they look like they don't really know whether he can see them or not, or maybe they do know.
He was hiding so well, they couldn't tell.
Maybe, yeah. Because in this part of the movie, he's got a ghillie suit on.
Yeah. He looked like moss, guys.
Yeah, he looked like...
straight up moss.
Swamp thing or something, running through the woods.
Yeah.
He shows three different creatures' faces. One looks like a hairy monkey, I guess. It's got a big cone-shaped. It's got hair all over it for the most part. It's got a flat nose and then some parts of its cheeks and eyes that are not hairy. The only thing is that it doesn't really blink in the footage that you see there. So it's hard to imagine that it's a living creature, that it wouldn't blink. Maybe Sasquatches don't blink, right? Maybe they're different than other monkeys or humans. And
that's a little weird.
Maybe it's a way for them to camouflage themselves even further. Because if you blink, you kind of give your position away. If you're hunting, or if you're...
But you can't see a blink like miles away, you know? Oh, I can't blink.
I'm reaching here. And I'm trying to...
That's a reach!
I'm trying to give this guy some credit. But it's hard to believe that this thing that he caught wouldn't blink.
It looked like a doll, basically.
And then that's another thing. It does look like a Muppet or a doll.
Yeah.
Two of them do. One of them doesn't. He shows two creatures that look different and also look very much like dolls or Muppets. They're moving, which either means someone's out there with him helping him fake this movie, or these creatures are really out there and he caught them on film. The very last one that he shows, which is the most convincing of all the footage, is what looks like a really black monkey, right? Like
it looks like a gorilla.
Yeah, it's got really black skin, no hair on its face. You could see some hair on the sides of its head, kind of like where the ears are. Very clearly, it looks like a chimpanzee or some kind of a monkey looking back at him. The eyes are very real. The skin is got a real shine to it, kind of like oily. And the eyes blink.
It was real.
It looked very real. It'd be hard to fake it.
No, you can't fake the blinking. The eyelids were just the same skin color.
Yeah, it looked like a monkey laying on the ground, peeking through some trees at him. And he caught it on HD film.
Yeah.
I couldn't find any proof or evidence of it being disproven online. It's either the most real or compelling footage of a Sasquatch caught on film, or it's one of the best hoax pieces of a Sasquatch caught on film. Because it's one of the two. It's like, it's no in between. It's one or the other.
Yeah, that's real.
It was
real.
Yeah.
It just felt real. It looked real. I was getting shivers.
I didn't really have any second thoughts or second guessing of what I'm looking at. I thought it was a Sasquatch, and I'm a believer, so I mean, it didn't make it hard for me to believe in what I was looking at as being a Sasquatch. You know, for you as a skeptic.
For me, I was like, wow, finally, there's actual footage after this whole movie.
Definitely something to see, and if you haven't seen it, I would check it out.
In the morning, when you're wide awake.
I wouldn't say it's super scary, but yeah, definitely watch it in the morning so you don't fall asleep.
Oh, no. It's just for the falling asleep part.
It's a little boring. I'm not going to lie.
It's very boring. Please drink some coffee.
I tried to watch this documentary. It was...
This was the first time that Michael fell asleep before I fell asleep. I'm very shocked myself.
Yeah, this one's a little tough to stick through the whole thing and not kind of doze off. It wasn't... I guess it was boring, but like 90% of the film is him running through the woods in a ghillie suit or just running through the woods.
Yeah, it's funny.
So it's hard to stick with.
He probably put that in between just to make you stay awake.
Oh, he definitely saved the best for last, though. He saved the best piece of footage he had for last.
He had to make sure all his viewers were watching until the end for the final shot.
He makes you stick around for the payoff.
But it's worth it because, honestly, I think I'm more of a step closer to becoming a believer of Bigfoot just by seeing that. Mm. This is pretty real and he or she could really be out there.
And that's combined with the footage of what we first talked about was that creature that looks like it's in the swamp tearing the tree apart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, two steps then. Calm down. It's just two steps.
Just piling it on where I can, you know? I don't know. What would you give this movie? A scale of 10. What is it? Where does it fall?
Todd's a cool guy. So I don't want to be too harsh.
Yeah.
because it is really boring.
It's not the most entertaining.
It's a 6.
A 6? Yeah. That's pretty high. That's higher than the...
Yeah, that's because I was being nice. The parkour really got that extra point.
Parkour. Sorry,
parkour.
I would say it's a 6-7.
See?
It's not the greatest movie, but exactly. It's got some interesting parts to it. If there's a way for you to watch the highlights on YouTube somewhere, I would definitely do that.
Yeah, just do that.
I think with that, we can leave the topic of Bigfoot here and continue another day with some more stories, but I don't want to put Kim to sleep. I think I did the opposite.
Sorry,
though.
I was sleeping.
I think I did the opposite this week.
I'm wide awake.
More of a believer than a skeptic, or pushed you more towards that side, and I don't think you'd disagree.
We'll see. Tune in next time to find out.
So, thank you everyone for listening. We look forward to you joining us on the next episode of Skeptics vs. Believers, where we'll get into more Sasquatch stories.
If you have any stories that you'd like to share with us, please email us at svbpodcast@outlook.com.
Until next time, my name's Mike.
And my name's Kim. See ya.